Congregation, there are two scripture readings this morning. We first can turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And there we read the verses 39 through 46. Luke chapter 22. We read the verses 39 through 46. And the Lord Jesus came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So far, the first reading of God's word. We then turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. And there we read the verses 7 through 19, where Moses is addressing the people of Israel just before they will pass over into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy 9, starting at verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokedst the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, and I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen thee, this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire. And the 2 tables of the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the 2 tables and cast them out of my 2 hands, and break them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water, because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. So far the reading of the Holy Word of God. The text for the sermon is verse 19, the last verse we read where Moses testified, "For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also." Beloved congregation, we read in Scripture the beautiful words, "God is love." And we know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we know that the Lord Jesus loves His own, and He loves them to the end. God loves His people, and the Lord loves that which is right. The Lord loves righteousness and that which is good. And therefore, God must hate all iniquity and all unrighteousness. And God must hate sin. And this hatred that God has is not a powerless detesting, but this hatred against sin is revealed in God's wrath. So connected to the love of God stands the wrath of God. God's love and God's wrath belong together. And we find the wrath of the Lord especially revealed in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to endure the bitterness of God's wrath poured out upon Him. And that was God's wrath against sin. In these weeks leading up to Good Friday, we reflect upon the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And we can say His sufferings are such that He bore the wrath of God. He was afraid of the wrath of God. We see this also in the lives of God's servants, that they have a special awareness and fear for God's wrath. We find that in our text, in Moses. For we just read the words of our text, Deuteronomy 9, verse 19, "For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also." We consider in our text the wrath of God. And this was seen by Moses, by Christ, and by the sinner. The wrath of God, this was seen by Moses, Christ, and the sinner. Congregation, when the Scriptures refer to the wrath of God, we have the inclination to more or less apologize for this. We like to hear about the love of God and about the care of God. But when we read in Scripture about the burning wrath of God, we consider this something like a blemish on the divine character. And we certainly do not consider it something to be delighted in. We can even feel within a secret resentment against the wrath of God. However, what do scriptures tell us? They make no attempt to cover up the wrath of God. On the contrary, there is more recorded in scripture of the wrath of God, of His fury and anger, than about God's love and tenderness and compassion. The Lord Jesus Himself has spoken more about God's judgment and about eternal punishment than about heaven and about God's love. Why does God have wrath? Because God is holy and He is love. If God would not have wrath, He would cease to have love. God hates everything that is unjust, impure, filthy, unrighteous, that violates His honor. And not just because He has honor, but because He is perfectly holy, perfectly good. And when something violates that, rises up against that, God must execute judgment. And that's why we read in Psalm 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. And so we must realize that the divine wrath is a divine perfection, just as His love is a divine perfection, or that His power is a divine perfection, or His mercy. There is no blemish in God whatsoever. Indifference to sin is a moral blemish. And he who does not hate sin is an immoral sinner. Imagine if the Lord would allow injustice to take place without punishment. That would be terrible. Imagine a judge in our country and murderers are brought before him and he just acquits them. That's terrible. Then justice falls on the streets. But God will execute a just judgment. Every sin will be punished, either in the sinner himself or in the Lord Jesus Christ who takes the place of sinners. Because it's impossible that the God of all righteousness and goodness, who is excellent, it's impossible that He can look with equal satisfaction at goodness and at wickedness. God delights in that which is pure and lovely. Therefore, He must hate that which is impure and vile. So the very nature of God makes it obligatory for God to punish sin. That means that the Lord will pour out His anger and His burning wrath upon sinners. God's wrath leads to eternal punishment. It is divine displeasure against evil. And how few are there in our country who fears the wrath of God? How many are there who think that the wrath of God is an issue? We read in Scripture of one who was very much afraid of God's wrath. He trembled before it. This man was the friend of God. God spoke to him like a man speaks to his friend. God showed his loving kindness to this man and communed with him. This man was Moses. Moses knew something of the holiness of God, and he realized to some extent the consequences of God's wrath upon sinners. He knew that God is a consuming fire. He knew how terrible the wrath of God was. And so Moses, the man of God, the mediator of the Old Testament, was afraid. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. That's what he says in our text. And here in Deuteronomy 9, Moses is delivering his farewell speech to the people of Israel as they are at the point of entering the promised land. And Moses summarizes in his speech all what had transpired during these past 40 years. And he refers to the sins of the people, how they rebelled repeatedly, how they were ungrateful, how they were murmuring and not grateful that the Lord had taken them out of the house of slavery, out of the house of bondage, and at times even wanted to return. They complained ever since the Lord delivered them, doing wonders and miracles, leading them through the Red Sea as a miracle unheard of. And 3 days later, instead of looking to the Lord and the power of God, they are complaining and murmuring and muttering. And 2 months after that, after they had heard the voice of God speaking to them from Mount Sinai, those 10 commandments, a few weeks after that, they put up this golden calf and are dancing in front of it and worshiping it. At that time, Moses said to the people in Exodus 32, he said, "Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord peradventure. Maybe I shall make an atonement for your sin." And here in Deuteronomy 9, Moses is referring to those events. He told the people they had done wickedly in the sight of the Lord, and that he was afraid of the displeasure and the anger of the Lord. The Lord at that time had said to Moses, "Let me be, and I will destroy all these people who have done nothing but being ungrateful to me. I will destroy them, and I will make you and your offspring a great nation." But at that time, Moses stood in the gap and he interceded for the people and begged that God would not do this for the honor of his great name. That although the Lord had been insulted and had been offended, that for his great name he would not destroy the people, because then the nations will say God was able to lead them out of Egypt, but was unable to lead them into the promised land. And so Moses pleaded the honor of God. Moses wrote also Psalm 90. And therein he writes the words in verse 11, "Who knoweth the power, the force of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." And therefore in verse 7 of the same psalm, he writes, "We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." And Moses had seen that. He had seen what had happened to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. He had seen how the earth split open and they sunk down and the earth closed it up again. And the people ran away terrified. And he had seen how the fire of the Lord came and destroyed some of those rebellious people. He had seen what the Lord had done to the land of Pharaoh, ruined it, and to the army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea, and what he had done to the firstborn of Egypt. And Moses himself had been in the presence of a holy God. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And he knew what had happened in paradise when Adam and Eve were sent away because of their sin. And Moses knew the wrath of God, that the Lord had destroyed the whole human race because of the astounding wickedness and evil. And only Noah was spared with his wife and children and their wives. But everyone else perished. Moses was afraid of the wrath of God. And he knew what had happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew how the Lord will overthrow the unrighteous. And he wrote down those words that Abraham had spoken. Lord, wilt thou destroy the righteous together with the unrighteous? Abraham knew that God would punish the unrighteous. And Moses realized this as well. And later on, the Holy Spirit shows us in Hebrews 12, verse 21, that Moses said, and so terrible was the sight, that means so holy and majestic, I exceedingly fear and quake, in Hebrews 12, 21. That's what Moses was. And Moses loved the Lord. Moses was saved by God's grace. Moses knew the power of God. And he feared also God's wrath. That God is not to be mocked. But there's also someone else in Scripture who knew the wrath of God. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord Jesus, during His life on earth, suffered throughout His entire life. He was hated. He was reviled. He was not welcome. They liked the miracles He did, but they did not like Him. He was beaten. He was plotted against. And finally, He was crucified. And in all those events, we never see the Lord Jesus fearing. We never see Him quaking and trembling. At one occasion, it's described how He feared. And He feared so excruciatingly that His sweat became as drops of blood. And that sweat ran off His body in drops. It wasn't just a little bit. He sweat as it were drops of blood running down His body onto the soil of the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, the Lord Jesus feared. What was He afraid about? There was no one there. There were no soldiers. There were no temple police. No jeering people. He was alone. Alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was He afraid of? He, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, He was afraid of the wrath of God. That evening he had left the city late, after he had first spoken to his disciples those most comforting chapters, John 13, 14, 15, 16. And then he engaged in prayer in John 17. And there we hear him interceding for his people, loving his people to the end. He loved his own. We see him humbling himself in John 13, washing the feet of the disciples, instructing them, comforting them, because he loved them. And late that evening he left the city and went to the Mount of Olives, entered the Garden of Gethsemane, left the 8 disciples at the entrance, taking John, James, and Peter along, and then told them to pray that you would not fall into temptation. And then he went on further, alone. And there he kneeled down and he prayed. And we read in Mark 14, he began to be sore amazed. That means overwhelmed. Sore amazed at what the wrath of God constitutes. He began to be very heavy. It was as if a huge load was laid upon him. In great fear and agony. Hebrews 5 verse 7. It's told us by God's Spirit, who in the days of his flesh had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, in that he feared. Now the Lord Jesus felt what it means to bear the wrath of God. It was something he had not felt before. But now he felt what that burden of the weight of the sins of his people entailed. It was an unbearable burden. He had a deep impression of what it means to be forsaken of his God. We cannot explain what the Lord Jesus endured. Dreadful hours of anguish. The Lord Jesus saw and knew the pain he had to endure. He would be beaten, whipped, and crucified. He knew of the great shame he had to undergo, that he would be condemned by wicked people and cast out, would be stripped, nailed to a cross naked and be reviled. He knew he would be forsaken of all his disciples, that no one would remain with him. He was also a human being. And now he realized he would be totally alone, left. And then outer darkness would engulf him, and his God would leave him. And then he would be alone with all the devils who would try to do their worst against him. As we read in Psalm 22, that bulls of Bashan have surrounded me. He now felt in the Garden of Gethsemane this wrath of God resting upon him. He felt the consuming fire burning around him already. His Father, whom he had loved from everlasting, would turn against him. And God would become to him a revengeful enemy. And God's burning wrath would be unleashed upon him in full force. While he had always loved his Father, always been occupied in the business of his Father. But he felt in Gethsemane the guilt of his people weighing upon him. It was an unbearable weight. And yet he had to bear it. One sin would already be like a talent of lead pushing a person down. But now the Lord Jesus had to bear all the sins of all his people from all ages. In Psalm 38 verse 4 we read, mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. You see, the sins of his people now became the sins of Christ, although he had never done anything wrong. It's no wonder that the Lord Jesus cried out, "My soul is heavy." In Amos 2, the Lord had said, "Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves." And that's a prophecy of what happened also there in Gethsemane. Here the words of Hebrews 10 are going to be fulfilled. "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God." And it was the will of God the Father that his Son would bear his own wrath to save lost sinners from the human race. And so he would give himself, the Lord Jesus, as a sacrifice. He would now be smitten with the blows that his people should have received. He will now be punished for what he never did. He will be banished from his Father's presence so that his people may be forever in God's presence with joy, because justice must be done. Justice may not fall in the streets, and therefore justice must be done. Jesus must pay for the sins of his people so that God's holy justice would be satisfied and that God will remain to be God, immaculate, perfect, holy, majestic. And now the Lord Jesus would have to face the wrath of God. And especially God's wrath. That what made his cup so bitter. He did not complain about the beatings or the whippings or the crucifixion or being reviled. Then the Lord Jesus had love for his mother Mary. Then the Lord Jesus had care for a thief who called upon him. The Lord Jesus had care, even praying that his Father would forgive them, for they did not know what they were doing under all these sufferings. But when 3 hours of darkness engulf Golgotha, then we hear silence for 3 hours. And at the end of those 3 hours, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." Then he cried out, because that was it, the wrath of God. Nahum 1 verse 6 says, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." No human being can stand that. Not even the human being Christ. Because he is human. But because his divine nature supported him, he could bear it. Because the divine nature supported his human nature. Something we find difficult to fathom. But that's why the Lord Jesus, as man, could suffer. It was not that God suffered on the cross. It was that the man, Jesus Christ, suffered. Because man had sinned and man had to pay. And so the Lord Jesus wept and sweat, drops of blood. And what about us? We sin, and our eyes do not even drop a tear. But his whole body sweats drops of blood. Who caused such suffering upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Who did this to him? He was alone. The man who has caused this upon the Lord Jesus, he must surely die. And then the Lord Jesus looks at us and says, "Thou art the man." It's because of our sins, because of our deceitful, selfish, unbelieving, abominable hearts. Your and my sins weighed upon the Lord Jesus as a mountain of iron. Why did the Lord Jesus undergo this? Why did he say, "Lo, I come"? Because his Father told him to do this. Yes. But that's not the only answer. He wanted to do it himself. He was fully willing. Of his own free volition, he gave himself and wanted to give himself as the Savior because he loved his people. From everlasting, he loved them. He did not want them to perish. He would rather that he would receive the blows and his people would be delivered. "I will stand in your place. You can move to the side. And I will bear the wrath of God so that you will never be struck with that wrath and that you will always be under the loving care of God the Father. Because now it's all right. It's all made right again. There's nothing in between you and God anymore because I took it all away." He stood in God's judgment. And that's why he is the mediator. That's why he is the intercessor. An intercessor for people who realize they deserve God's judgments. They deserve to be cast away. They deserve to be punished. They have no rights whatsoever. And yet the Lord Jesus says, "I in your place." And that's the wonderful exchange. That's the extraordinary love of God the Son, that he was willing to give himself. But it was also the extraordinary love of God the Father that he gave his Son to be the sin bearer. And we see the extraordinary love of God, the Holy Spirit, that he prepared a body for the Lord Jesus and that he supported him, giving him strength to bear God's wrath. And congregation, this has a bearing upon the sinner. Because now we come to a reality that many people do not even think about. They have a totally warped view of God. As if God is some old man who is complacent and nods and smiles at the sins of people and does nothing. Because God has not done anything, we think. Life progresses. Our country is plunging more and more down into sin. And the whole Western world is plunging more and more down into sin. And who is there that thinks for a moment of the wrath of God. God is angry with a sinner continually, but they refuse to repent. They do not even think they need to repent. They do not want to acknowledge the righteousness of God. They can think they get away with it. They think it's bizarre, a God who punishes and who would wipe out the whole human race. People always excusing themselves, saying, we are good, we're not so bad as other people. Moses knew that the people of Israel had broken God's covenant. And the Lord had already given him, as it were, a bill of divorce for all these people. And that would mean certain death to them and misery, to be forever under the wrath of God. And this shall happen to every sinner who continues on in life without God, because we are not just talking about people outside. That's easy. But what about us? Are you converted? Do you tremble for the wrath of God? I'm not saying that's the only thing, but it's a real thing. Yes, God is also love, and God is also caring and compassionate and very patient. We all experience that. It's all around us. We receive far above what we deserve. But God is also a God of wrath. And how do we live? What position does God occupy in your and my life? Is he on the side somewhere? Or is he center stage? But that costs you yourself. Then you cannot live as you have been doing. Then you have to bow your knees and confess that you are a sinner unworthy of receiving anything of God. And then you plead upon the way of escape in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way. I am the way. And so we need that way. We need to be covered by the righteousness of Christ, by the payment that Christ made. And that entails conversion, repentance, to bow down and to confess that we are worried about all kinds of things in life. We are afraid of sickness. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of war. We're afraid of what's happening in the world. We're afraid of all kinds of things, where our country is heading and what this Western world is heading. And we're afraid of conspiracies or whatever it may be. But who is afraid of the wrath of God? Fear God. Because all those other things are nothing in comparison to the wrath of God. Because we are inclined not to love God. We are inclined to pay lip service to God. And we like it that God gives his Son to die for our sins, and in the meantime, we will just sort things out ourselves in our life. Where is the broken heart? Where is the hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Where is the trembling for God? Where is the communion with God? Because he is so condescending good, because his love and his joy fills the heart, that there is nothing better than to be close to this God who is love. How do we live, congregation? Romans 1:18 says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. It's revealed in people. The Lord gives them up to their sinful attitudes. this wrath of God is reflected in the curse upon creation, that the whole of creation longs for the revelation of the sons of men, because then the creation itself shall be delivered from the curse. That's the new earth. Creation is under a curse because of the crimes of men. The Lord God declares eternal punishment of the wicked. And by nature, the way we are born without Christ. We are by nature already a child of wrath. That's what the form for infant baptism says. That we are children of wrath under God's anger because of our sins. And to have this anger poured out upon you, you don't have to do anything. It's very easy. Just live on your civil life. Just live on being a dutiful citizen. And you can live for the pride of life, to be something, to be important, to want to be important. You can live for the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, the desires of life. And you ignore the solemn callings of the Lord. You know, if you go to Yellowstone National Park, if you've ever been there, you will see there are paths you can walk through. But in certain sections of Yellowstone Park, there are sections where the earth crust is very thin. And if you would step through it, you would end up in hot, burning material, something like lava. So you stay on the path. You know, people are now walking on a very thin crust. If you are outside of Christ, you are walking on a thin layer of crust. And any moment you can sink through it and be burned. If the Lord did not spare His Son, do you think He will spare you after you have paid only lip service to His Son and that your heart was not in it? Congregation, we must be saved, every one of us. We need to pay. We cannot pay. In the sufferings of Christ, we see how God detests sins. Christ paid for sin. And so, seeing all what happened in Gethsemane, we must realize how heinous sin is. That we must learn to hate all manner of sin. And that we must truly fear the wrath of God. And that we would be led to repentance. Repentance is not an option. It's necessary. We may not live for our temporary delights, and that we do not bow our knees before the Lord in surrender unto Him. We need Christ in us. You know, we've gone through quite some turmoil. We had COVID for 2 years, and now there's a war raging in Europe, and the red button has nearly been activated. People are afraid. In Eastern Europe, they are terrified. But that is all nothing in comparison to when the Lord Jesus shall return. Because it says in Scripture that the people will be terrified of the wrath of the Lamb. Have you ever seen a lamb that was angry? That people would run away from it? Well, the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, will come with wrath. And what you then see is that the generals and the presidents and the prime ministers and the laborers and everyone who has not found refuge in Christ will at that moment they will then cry out to the mountains and the rocks to crush them. People now flee from a volcano that's erupting. They flee from an earthquake. They flee from a mountain rock slide. But then they will want to be covered by that because of the wrath of God. And congregation, we must be delivered from that wrath of God. And we must love the Lord passionately. And at the same time, fear His displeasure. That belongs to the fear of the Lord, to fear His displeasure. And we can be delivered from the wrath of God because the Lord Jesus bore that wrath. And you may bow your knees. And maybe we can't even imagine the wrath of God. I cannot imagine it. I try to, but I cannot. And I do not know the depth of my own depravity and sin. And neither do you. But if we just bow our knees and confess to the Lord this reality of us, and that we confess that we need the Lord Jesus to fill our lives, that He becomes the first for us. That is what we need to do. And there's an intercessor. The way to heaven is open. Because the Lord Jesus has paid fully. And if you know of the Lord, how He came over in your life, never forget what He has done. That He loved you and will continue to love you. And God's love is offered to us all. God's salvation and deliverance is offered to us all. Let us seek Him and live. Amen. O Lord God of heaven and earth, we come before Thee and we praise Thee, Lord, that Thou art just and holy, and that Thou dost maintain justice, and that all wickedness will be punished, and nothing will go unpunished, and at the same time Thou hast opened a way of refuge. There are people in Ukraine who have a way of refuge, and they flee to the West. Thou hast given us a way of refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot explain what that all entailed, what that suffering of the Lord Jesus was. But we know from Thy word that Thy wrath is to be feared. And we pray Thee, Lord, teach us to see reality as it is. And not to be afraid of what the people are afraid of, but that we would fear God and honor His commandments. For this is the end of the whole matter. O Lord, we pray Thee, draw us unto Thee, and grant that we may be active with what we heard now from Thy word. If Moses, the man of God, feared, how much more should we fear? And Lord, let us then tremble now before Thy majesty. For those who tremble before thee and lay low, they will be exalted. They will be washed. They will be cleansed. They will be renewed. They will be adopted as children of God, delivered from His wrath, and will be forever kept in Thy care, in Thy loving kindness. O Lord, wilt Thou examine our hearts that we may know Thee. Be with us this day further. Bring us back again this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.